Blog Talk Radio.
Probably say very angry episode because I am sick and tired of the liberal hypocrisy, the lies that they spread about others, and I'm specifically going to tell you a story about something that happened. So stay tuned to The Visible Conservative on Blog Talk Radio.
By the money and the fame, put them safe now, and I'm breaking off those chains.
We breaking off those chains, and we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains, and we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains, and we're living a life for God. We breaking off those chains, and we're living a life for God.
Welcome back to The Invisible Conservative. I'm your host, Thomas, and I am being told by my friend Michael that there's a chat, there's an echo. So are you guys still hearing me echo, or is it better now? Give me a thumbs up if it's still echoing or if it's okay. Anyway, as I usually do, I am going to open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for an opportunity to do another show. I haven't had one in a minute because of all the issues with the different technical difficulties, but, you know, I blame it on the liberals. But all joking aside, Lord, I thank you for the ability to forgive. Because despite the fact, the story that I'm going to talk about today, I still choose to forgive the individual. But Lord, I'm going to be real with you. I'm tired. I'm tired of the direction of our country. I'm tired of people sitting back and letting our country go to hell in a handbag. And Father, that's why I am a Christian Unleashed. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise for what you have done and for what you continue to do. And we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. And my scriptures, my first scripture is this. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2. It is the love of God that leads one to repentance. 3. Love covers a multitude of sins. And 4, there's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. So, Mike, that might be an echo on your computer end because everybody else, they're not hearing an echo, but he's going to try to redo it. Anyway, guys, with the stupidity that's being exhibited by our president, I'm tired. Point blank, I'm tired, and I'm one that I've never have sought to belittle anybody because of their beliefs, but when it happens to me, when it happens to me, it really angers me. And it makes you wonder who people think they are. So I will tell you this. Respect is something that is not freely given, but it is earned. I ask myself this question. Why does the individuals who occupy Wall Street think that they have the right to take what other people work for? What makes them think that they have the right to go and take from others because they don't want to work? And I'm I'm just sick and tired of liberal double standards. I'm sick and tired of liberal double standards. So, I'ma get to the crux of what happened. I wrote a blog. Most of you guys don't know that I blog, because I just started blogging myself. And sometimes we make mistakes. We miss something, and it happens. But liberals, they have a tendency to think that they can point out every single mistake of a conservative. But if you point out their faults, they want to scream bloody murder. Well, I posted my blog on one of the groups that I belong to. Awesome group. It's called I'm Black and Not Liberal. And I got one of my amendments mixed up. Just one. I only missed one. But, you know, because I know so many, it just, sometimes you make a mistake. And I have no problem with people pointing out my mistakes to me. But let me tell you exactly what happened. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it to you. And so bear with me. I'm going to read really fast. The title is Liberals Are Tolerant As Long As Conservatives Don't Disagree With Them. There is an interesting phenomenon taking place within the borders of our once great nation. One aspect of our society has labeled them the all-knowing, all-powerful, I am better than you, you can't talk to me crowd. Who is it, you ask? Well, thanks for asking. They are the little people loving, tolerant of everyone, rich hating, poor people need a break too crowd. Sounds like a liberal to me. Let's look at the facts. Liberals control education, labor union, the abortion mills, California, and you wonder why the state is going broke. The kicker is that liberals are wealthy, but they believe in taking everyone else's money unless you are one of the supporters of the ideology of in the idiotic craziness. Liberals play the race card and then call conservatives racist. Liberals are the most racially intolerant group in America. You only have to be reminded of the vitriol that was spewed at President George W. Bush when he was in office. It is ironic that they call for civility after the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords, but once things settled down, the liberals went back to their same deceitful tactics. Like most of America, I allowed others to shape my identity for me instead of standing on my own principles. I voted Democrat even though my very nature was that of a conservative. I had to fall into line like the rest of the hapless sheep. I am going to say this. While you are sitting back complaining about not getting a fair shake, I am going to go out and make my own opportunity. I am going to stand up to those that accuse the Tea Party of being racist. I am an unknown, and at the end of the day, that is where I will stay. Liberals, I am your worst nightmare come true. You know why? There isn't anything that you can say to me that hasn't already been thrown at me. You could try the intelligence factor, but you would lose on that account too. My IQ would rank in the top 1% in the world if I would have been. And keep in mind, guys, this is what I wrote. My IQ would rank in the top 1% if I would have been in an environment that was conducive to the development of black child prodigies. I wasn't. And with hindsight being perfect vision, I thank God that I wasn't, because I would have been just another indoctrinated zombie. I like to think for myself and not have some liberal professor who has less wisdom than a rock try to tell me what I'm supposed to think and believe. In the teaching profession, you are supposed to teach your students to think critically. But just as with the rest of liberal America, liberal professors are lazy. The final kicker is that liberals claim to be the group of tolerance. They are tolerant as long as you go along with their opinion on the issues. You better not disagree, because the knives will come out. You will be labeled an Uncle Tom sellout, racist, or intolerant. The facts do not support the conservatives or racist chant of the liberals. The 11th Amendment was supported. I believe it was the 11th Amendment or 12th Amendment. This is where I made the mistake. I just got one of the amendments off. I think it was actually the 12th Amendment, which abolished slavery. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room. And this is what I put. The 11th Amendment was supported 100% by Republicans and 24% by Democrats. Does anyone care to venture a guess as to what the 11th Amendment did? If you guessed abolish slavery, then you win a gold star for the day. There's one thing left that still makes this country a great nation: our love for God, country, our military men and women, individuals' rights and responsibilities, Second Amendment's rights to bear arms, rights to own property, right to own private property, etc. I'm talking about good old 100% all American men and women, regardless of racial makeup, who hold true to the original nobleness of the GOP. I challenge anyone who reads this blog to research the platform on which the Republican Party was founded. You will be in for a major surprise. And for clarity's sake, let me add this disclaimer. I am a conservative in my views, in my beliefs, but I will not register Republican until the establishment GOP acknowledges the roots on which the party was founded. I believe the original principles on which the GOP was established are still noble. Thomas Smith, quietly respectful and intensely reserved. And my new motto is this: speak when you have something to say, quietly observe when someone makes you mad, and always be ready to rise. And this is what the token liberal had to say. At Mr. Top 1% in IQ, are you sure that the 11th Amendment abolished slavery? If you say yes, you are wrong. The judicial power of the United States should not be construed to extend to blah, blah, blah. So like I said, I was off by one. Okay. And then this is also where this idiot said, he said, there was no Democratic Party at the time this amendment was passed, unless it evolved from the Federalists or the Whigs. Now, the 10th Amendment, wasn't that, or the, the Bill of Rights was the first 10 amendments, the 11th Amendment or the 12th Amendment. Anyway, so this is what I typed. Oops, I messed up. Could it have been made slave citizens? Which the whole gist of it is that I have no problem acknowledging my mistakes. I said I have a high IQ, but it doesn't mean I'm perfect. And those people who are know-it-alls that always have to be right, you know what? Folks, those kind of people need to get over themselves, because at the end of the day, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, it doesn't matter to me. Anyway, so this is what he says. I think you have overreached in your effort to push the I used to be a Democrat, now I'm free speech on condescending judgment, which runs rampant on black conservative boards. Usually that gets a few likes from the crowd. Too bad none of your peers corrected your own history. So I guess you don't win a gold star. Oops, I messed up. And then this is what I put. Guess what, guys? I was off on one of my amendments. So you think that Courtney would like if someone pointed out his every mistake? Probably not. But as the word says, remove the log from your own eye before you try to remove the speck from your brother's. I said in my blog, I have an IQ, high IQ. I didn't say I didn't make mistakes or that I knew everything. Courtney, you are a very arrogant and sanctimonious person who thinks that you know everything. You know nothing about me. So like I said before, if you want to ask questions, that is one thing. But if you attack me personally because of my beliefs, then turnabout will be fair play. And then this is what he said. You put yourself out there with the title of your diatribe. Liberals are tolerant as long as conservatives don't agree with them. Actually, yeah. Then you went into this talk about how intelligent you are. And see, this is where... Now, I said all that to say this, guys. This is where liberals always try to get. They're so good at changing things. I never said my IQ was in the top 1%. I said it would have been if the circumstances under which I was living were different, and I read that. But he said that I said something else. So it's all a matter of picking and choosing. And then he says, and now you want to take the high road and go biblical, talking about specks and planks and eyes when you're proven wrong. Black conservatives lament that they cannot draw other blacks into the conservative mindset. They even bemoan the fact that the mainstream GOP do not support Republican candidates. You know what? This is my whole point, and this is what I'm talking about. People like this gentleman, Courtney Sherrod, whatever his name is, I could care less. I will reach out to those black people who are interested in hearing the truth. And one thing about it, if anyone is at my show expecting perfection and never make no mistakes or stumbling over words or anything like that, guys, you're in the wrong place. I am not perfect, nor will I ever be perfect, nor will I ever put myself out to be perfect. But one thing that I am real. And I am sick, and I am tired. I am sick and tired of black liberals who always want to deride black conservatives. And you know what? I have no respect for that any longer. I'm not going to respect it. I don't have to respect it. And I've always sought to just treat everybody with respect, because that is my heart. But I am sick and tired of people always wanting to attack. John, you have one time. You have one time only. Do not troll in this room today, because, you know, brother, you are welcome here, but I'm specifically talking about a situation that happened. That's all I'm saying. I know God is for everyone. And Alan, thank you for looking that up. I knew I was off by a few. Thank you for looking that up, and I appreciate it because, you know, like I said, we make mistakes, and I have a pocket constitution, so, you know, I dropped the ball. But anyway, this individual went on to attack me on Facebook, and I finally had to do this. I'm gonna tell you what. See, he said, let's see, where was it? He says, so here's what's going to happen if you're a socialist, Marxist, liberal to the politically correct crowd. Turnabout is fair play. That was something I wrote. The rules of the group, please refrain from personal attacks and attack the issue. Personal attacks only show that you have nothing to add to the conversation. Just because I don't agree with you or anybody else does not make me a Marxist, liberal, well, part liberal anyway, socialist, or any other negative name you can think of. I believe the issue at hand is David Duke addressing the Tea Party. Now, let me explain something to you. And this is where I always tell people, especially when it comes to me, be careful what you say to me. Because though I make some mistakes when it comes to stuff, in fact, I make a lot of them. I make a whole bunch of them. But I do have a little intelligence. And see, when he wrote that, he doesn't know that I have read most of his posts that he's posted on the conservative blogs attacking others. And when people came back at him, the first thing out of his mouth was that he's neither conservative or Democrat. But yet right here, he just said, just because I don't agree with you or anybody else does not make me a Marxist, liberal, well, part liberal anyway, socialist, or any other negative name you can think of. And then later he asked me, so what happened to your comments about destroying the Democratic Party with history? And when I made that comment, I was talking about I could destroy that whole notion of the nobleness of the Democratic Party through their history. And this is what I said to him. I decided that it was a waste of my time to chat with someone who already have things predetermined. Because at the end of the day, your whole point of being on a conservative blog board is to build up Dems like they are doing so much for the people. Courtney, let me let you in on a little something. I grew up in a system that you so readily support. It was so effective that it almost allowed me to get beat to death by my adopted mom. And you know the ironic thing about it is that the person accused me of lying was a black social worker, and the person that came to my aid was a white social worker. So you entitled to believe and think whatever you want, but don't give, but don't get on my blog and accuse me of attacking you. Your name isn't anywhere in my blog. I said liberals. I also read in one of your posts that you said you were neither Republican or Democrat. I don't want to play any more games with you because I know what you're trying to do. I don't want to be baited into blasting you, and I will report you for harassment if you don't kill. And that's what I ended up doing because, guys, I'm telling you point blank, and this is the reason why I don't go on liberal shows. I know some of you guys have no problem going on different shows. But see, for me, it's different because I give people the benefit of the doubt. I have no problem doing that. But when you get condescending with me and you talk down to me and you keep trying to talk over me and then you belittle me, that's where I draw the line. I don't have no problem with anyone disagreeing with me. Two of my closest friends, two people, a husband and wife, and their kids, I watched their kids grow up from little ones. I've known them for 24, 23 years. They're flaming, hardcore liberals. I love them to pieces. Politically, we are polar opposites. We just don't talk politics because they can make me so mad. But I love them to pieces. They have given me shoes because they own the shoe store. They've been there for me. Coats when I need it, when I didn't have it. So I'm saying this. I am one of the most open-minded individuals you will ever meet. But I am sick and tired of Christians, Tea Party members, conservatives, white conservatives who care about people being labeled racist. I'm tired of it. I'm sick and tired of us black conservatives being called names. And I'm sick and tired of liberals always getting a fair shake. Raise your hand in the room, in the chat room, if you guys have heard the audio clip of Robert Byrd, Democratic senator from West Virginia, saying that they're, it's really funny. I've heard this clip twice, and he made this comment, and I'm a be graphic, and so if you're politically correct, you might want to close your ears because I'm not politically correct. But he made the comment that there are white niggers. And he was about to say, and there are black, but he caught himself. I may have been the only one that I know of that actually caught that. Because most people think, okay, he didn't say it, but so he's just talking. No, he was about to say it. Folks, let's even break it down deeper than that. Robert Byrd was a grand cyclops in the KKK. Folks, when he died, he never renounced his Klan association. Now, let me show you the hypocrisy of liberals. They jumped on Trent Lott when he gave honor to Strom Thurmond. Guess what? A little something that they didn't bother to tell you when they were ranting and raving. Oh, he's supporting a racist. Strom Thurmond was the only Dixiecrat to ever renounce his racist views. Bet you didn't know that, didn't you? Yes, he was a segregationist. Yes, he was racist. He renounced his views, folks. But because liberals are in control of the news media, you didn't hear that. How many in the chat room knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that. So, guys, I'm telling you, see if I got some calls. No callers, but the double standards are off the chain. Yeah, Alan, he did. He renounced his racist views. John, there is no hate in this room. I'm gonna warn you one more time. Don't troll. This is a conservative room, and we will talk about conservative politics. Period. And if you don't want to hear it, there's the door. Just because I don't agree with something does not mean I hate something. Let me bring on my buddy. Sup, aka Flyover Territory, Midwestern Values and People Stomping Virtues.
Yeah. Gonna go ahead and.
Oh yeah, I'm here. Sorry. For a moment there, I was channeling Carl Childers. I apologize. I shouldn't have done that.
That's all right.
Oh no, I did my Carl Childers last night on my show. So Billy Bob Thornton is still kind of rattling around inside my melon. You know, the hypocrisy you were talking about, Thomas, really does have a lot of validity. And I use two examples of hypocrisy when it comes to that. One is for racism, and the other is for First Amendment freedom of speech.
Right.
And these two, right, these two, and I know you've heard me say the freedom of speech one, but... And you're very right by pointing out the difference between Robert Byrd and Strom Thurmond.
Right.
And you know, because look at it. You know, Robert Byrd is canonized being fast-tracked to being a Democrat saint, right?
Right.
But every chance they get, they still go ahead and go after that dirty old scoundrel, Strom Thurmond. When he openly renounced, hey, that's not what I used to be. Or that's what I used to be. That's not what I am now. And he went out of his way to do that. But every time he did a vote that was seen, or rather deemed, as opposing poor people or minorities, they jumped on that old meme that they always had, didn't they?
Right.
At every chance, yeah. At every opportunity. You know, and even in death, they'll still do that over at MSNBC. Well, it looks like the ghost of Strom Thurmond is still hovering over the congressional floor. And you're like, yeah, stop it.
Right.
And it's the same way with the freedom of speech thing, okay?
Right.
Everybody's supposed to be able to have the freedom of speech. And the two comparisons I give are, you know, 1972 – in 1992, 20 years apart.
Right.
You know? First one is Bobby Seale, or excuse me, sorry, 1972 and 1982. I should clarify. 1972 is when Bobby Seale is, you know, professing violence and how the black man ain't going to be a white man's cannon fodder no more once we get an all-volunteer army, blah, 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 blah.
Hold on a second. Hold on for a minute. Let me deal with this real quick.
Sure.
John. First of all, I called you a troll because you tend to think that I have short-term memory. You came on to one of my shows, a few weeks back, and you started muttering up and typing the same things over and over and over. If you have an issue that you want to talk about, call in. Put some more water in it for me, please.
Please call in. I would love to engage. Because I deal in fact and numbers. So does Tom.
Hey, take the show for a minute and just talk a little bit. Because,
sure.
Yeah.
No problem.
Be right back.
Sure. Now, just to continue for a moment what I was talking about a few moments ago. And this is a key thing, folks, that this is the hypocrisy that is constantly coming out of the left side. It really does get kind of... Thomas, they need to turn your sound down. And again, I guess... Anyway, the thing about the left is that they need to have a half playing the hypocrisy as soon as they can. I'd like to ask you a question, but heaven forbid that I could go the religiosity route. Bring up. They don't like it when you ask them a yes or no question because they will do one of two tactics. One is duck, dodge, and downspin, which is what I call the 3D tactic. Or they will do known as what Herman Cain just started saying that Herman Cain has been saying on the air when I used to regularly to his sin stands which the time ignore facts that are and go to name calling and it's now how it's okay for one person to freak out. That's why now the ninth. Violence and racism. The opportunity hit every or near as much. That's the bad part. For that. Then again, I guess not. So looking at it from that standpoint, that's where you have a lot of issues that we like to bring up. Now, Thomas says he doesn't like to go over to the progressive side of the house, the leftward side of the dial here on Blog Talk Radio. I myself don't mind engaging. I don't. Okay, because I do have some friends that are over there on the progressive side. We don't see eye to eye, and we've acknowledged that, both through Skype and in, you know, on the air. Hey, we don't agree 100%. I don't think, you know, and one of these folks is like a total rabid Occupy movement supporter. I myself have a flaw with the core of it, especially since in recent days it's come out that they also have not only the backing of both the Communist Party USA,
but they also have the backing of the American Nazi Party. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't like that. And it, with all reality involved, the very hardcore believers of it are so entrenched in the movement for the cause, I'm using air quotes here, that they will put blinders on for that. Okay? Those two elements are oil and water to the American way. The American way, which allows you to go ahead and go out and, you know, make your way and the like, to choose your path. Because let's face it, for 69 years there was a failed experiment in communism itself. And it was known as social engineering position placement. And social engineering position placement basically started with an idea that Trotsky floated out there. And you make little kids take aptitude tests at various levels throughout grade school and middle school, and that's where you go ahead and project their career path for them. If you guys have heard the raging racist diatribe on at Occupy Wall Street from a few days ago that was posted on YouTube. I don't know if any of you guys are watching any of this or not. But this one guy says, hey, all those people work for Coca-Cola that are pushing, you know, flavored sugary water to make other people get obese and get diabetes. They can be reassigned to jobs as carpenters or doctors. And he starts listing off something. And when you tell somebody what they have to do, not what they want to do, okay, that's Politburo territory. That's an edict from what used to come down from the Supreme Soviet. Even Mikhail Gorbachev realized after a time, hey, guess what? This doesn't work so well. It's not going to fly. Why? Because you had people that were bridling at the fact that they were being basically pigeonholed into positions that they really didn't want to do. They didn't have any choice. And you've got to understand that those who were trying to escape from the old Soviet Union was at its height between 81 and 84, around the time of the transition between Brezhnev over to Konstantin Chernenko and the other guy who only lasted for about 8 months before he croaked, whose name escapes me right now, before it became Mikhail Gorbachev. And look at the example as well. And I'm going to use Mikhail Gorbachev for a moment. Because the Duma was taking away his authority in and of itself, what they were doing on a continual basis, they literally threw bodies at the Chernobyl problem. Let that sink in for a moment. They literally sacrificed people for that when it was really unnecessary. The whole thing was unnecessary in the first place. But that level of communism breeds slacking off. In other words, you don't have to excel if you don't want to. And that's the worst part of it all. And that's what I think a lot of people don't seem to really grasp. And sometimes it makes me wonder occasionally what they're really up to. So when it comes to the Occupy movement and the like, and I've been hammering on this quite a bit for the last roughly week and a half. And, of course, once again, what are they doing? They're puffing up their numbers. I actually had one leftist BTR host try to claim that there was 80,000 people worldwide. And that's where you're starting to wonder yourself, okay, so how can it be 80,000 when you don't have any real concrete numbers, when you have visual verification from people that you're communicating with? Hey, Zuccotti Park only has, you know, anywhere from 250 to 400 people. Yeah, and I can understand that their numbers are going to wax and wane because some people actually have jobs, a.k.a. lives, and they have to go ahead and do that. But that's where the hypocrisy comes. If it doesn't work for you, puff up the numbers. That'll be great. Well, it's all well and good until the reality of the numbers comes forth. I'll use Keith Olbermann, for example. And this is where Al Gore and his current TV buddies have to actually do the economic math of it. Does paying a guy $10 million justify only having 56,000 viewers per episode? I'm sorry, but that's not economically cost-effective. It just isn't. It really is not. And, of course, let's use MSNBC, for example, for a moment. What I would really, really love to see happen, I would really love to see somebody from GE, from upon high, go ahead and send a memo to 30 Rock letting them know that everybody's contracts are being cut all the way down to only $300,000 per year to level the playing field. So if you have some on-screen personalities who are being paid under $300,000, hey, their salaries get puffed up. But Chris Matthews and Dylan Radigan and the rest of these guys who got brought up to the majors, well, specifically in the case of Dylan Radigan and Ed Schultz, basically, that are from the failed experiment called Air America, watch them bridle at the fact that their pay is being cut. Watch how they will suddenly go from being proletariat of the masses for the working man, blah, 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 to being angry, upset, pissed off, being ripped off capitalists. I think that would be, in the case of big bully Ed Schultz, that would probably end up being about 3.5 seconds, to be bluntly honest. And, of course, the way that I always equate that is he's – basically a big fat bully is what he is. And that's you can imagine how that would be. He's the same guy he threatened when he was pissed off once, hey, I'm going to burn this place down. Thomas, are you back?
Yes, sir. I literally did almost burn my place down.
Okay. I was chilling for you. Let's go ahead and get Isaac taken care of here real quick. I'll be back in a moment.
Okay.
I'm going to mute myself.
Okay, thanks. Hey, folks, thank you for the patience. That noise that you heard is that was a really loud fire alarm because I was boiling chicken to make some chicken salad. And as they say, yes, once again, I have shown the world that I make mistakes. I make mistakes. I love making mistakes because it shows that I'm real. We're all real. But that was, as you guys know, that was Eric, a.k.a. Flyover Territory. No, Michael, you can't have none of the chicken. It's burnt. Let me tell you something. It's crispy, black, dark, dark roast. It looks like dark roasted coffee. So, anyway, it seems like you guys had a pretty good discussion going on there. And I've seen that since I've been gone that there's been a few more people that came to the room. But in a nutshell, it's this. I'm tired of respecting others and having them turn around and step on me. And that's what took place with this gentleman. I know how mean I was. I was an angry kid. I don't ever want to be like that person again. I don't ever want to be there again. And that's why I went to my friend Dominic and I told him what happened, and he took care of it. Because just as easily as I am a loving person, I always just step away from the other side, because I'm still being healed. The biggest thing for me to ever deal with was the rejection of my own community. I don't know why I was rejected by my community. I never did nothing wrong to my community. I tried to fit in and I wanted to fit in. That's what my purpose and intent. But at the end of the day, you know what the best weapon is to those who treat you bad? You be successful. You build a business model that people look at and they're like, wow. Hi, Mom. How are you? Glad you can make it. But guys, you have no idea what has happened to me in the last few days. And I'm talking good stuff. I have to fill out some information tonight that's going to allow me to get the apparatus to establish the first part of the network infrastructure for my network. And guys, I'm excited. Because it's going to be a place where people can come for conservative news. For great listening music, news, talk shows. Many good things. A lot of the shows on here, I'm going to hopefully be able to network with them and syndicate their shows on my network. Because I'm going to tell you something. When someone tells me I can't do something or that I don't stand a chance of something,
well, telling you not to do something is what I would say tantamount to as the equivalent of saying, hey, Thomas, go ahead and do it.
Basically.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, the BCR network is going to become what Blog Talk Radio is today, except one difference. no liberals. Not saying no opposing viewpoints, but you know what? We're going to set a standard. I'm sick and tired of people saying that you can't start a business in this country because of the economy. Hey, Eric, quick tell me, what's the one business in this world that's almost recession-proof?
Well, actually, there's several, if you think about it.
Yeah, there are, but name the one I'm talking about.
Are you talking about what we're doing now?
The internet, exactly.
Yeah.
Internet.
Yeah, the internet will always be, well, no, I mean, it's going to wax and wane like the phase
right.
of the moon, but it would stay constant. I mean, you'd have boom in downtimes.
Exactly.
You know, just like in other sorts of endeavors, you know. I mean, look at and this is another good example that I use. Look at the Thrifty Nickel or the Trader.
Right. Right.
Or the Trading Post free newspapers that come out every Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, nationwide, depending on where your local area is. Every local area has them. The neat thing about them is you can always tell how many are in the racks. If it's a good time for advertising, for buying, selling, or trading, the rack is going to be full on the first day that it comes out.
Right.
If the rack is about half full when that edition comes out, you know, advertising revenue is not so good. It's
right.
pretty easy. And that's probably one of the best indicators I've ever found to use for that realm.
Right.
Okay. Flea markets, believe it or not, and I know a lot of you know, I'm not from the South, but I live in the South. I live in Nashville, so people are going to be thinking, well, golly dang, Eric, what are you doing living your stereotype for? But seriously, flea markets are another good indicator of whether it's boom or bust time when it comes to buying, selling, and trading.
Right. Okay, let's pause right there for a minute because that's a good segue into what I'm going to talk about now. What the hell is going on with that idiotic hotel in your town? Are they really that stupid? Do they think that they are going to get away with that?
Are you talking about here in Nashville?
Yes. What's it called? That funny named hotel that refused to let the conference be held there because some Muslim, oh, so tolerant, moderate Muslim.
Are you talking about? You're talking about the Regency Hyatt?
Whatever hotel that it was that
yeah.
said the conference can't be held because someone called and threatened the corporate people.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
You're talking about when the Southern Baptist Convention wanted to do it there.
Nope.
Right?
This just happened. You live in Nashville.
Oh.
And you didn't know what just happened. I didn't
read yesterday and today's Tennessee. And let me take a look real quick.
Yeah, about the whole. They refused to let the group that was the Tea Party group that was going to do a conference against the Muslims trying to take over Nashville or whatever.
Oh.
That group.
Yeah.
That one. What do you think
yeah.
about that one? Talk to me.
Well, yeah, because that was, yeah, you're right. Lewin Zelenik
right.
wanted to go ahead and have a conference about that. For a second there, I thought that you were talking about the thing about the Nashville Hyatt Regency wanting to go ahead and have, because they ended up not carrying the Southern Baptist Convention. But this has to do with the whole she was basically having a conference as to, is the mega mosque good or bad? And really, this is kind of a bad time to be bringing that up because that arson investigation is now turning its attention in a different fashion.
Right.
And Mr. Al-Halibi, one of the contractors, it turns out, burned his own gear.
Ooh.
For the insurance money. Oh, yeah. And, yeah, I got friends in certain elements that will shake their head and just wonder about that. They're like, yo, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
And all along the guy was screaming, oh, this isn't that, blah, 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 I've been threatened, blah, 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 you know, going on and on and on, when it all in the end turns out that, hey, all you wanted was a new Caterpillar, you know, front-end scoop loader and backhoe deal, you know, the all-in-one unit. And, yeah, nothing
right.
Like blaming others.
Right.
Know? And as for the conference of everything itself, you know, I understand the hotel, their standpoint, and it's not unlike how certain, like in the case of the Southern Baptist Conference a couple of months ago, how they were going to have speakers that were going to be talking about the issues of Sharia law and blah, 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 and, you know, higher regency wanted nothing to do with that either. And they're basically doing the whole thing with, this has nothing to do with freedom of speech. It has to do with making sure we're protecting our employees and our property because, you know, these bad people who threaten other people like to do that.
Okay,
but
so
here, all four reason to stand up for crying out loud and be counted amongst those who are not going to take that kind of bullying because that's the same as appeasement. That's basically
right.
All it's down to. Nothing more than that. And that's what really bothers me, because you're going to have a bunch of fired up pastors. And it was interesting enough, the fact that the Southern Baptist Conference, we're going to have several meetings about, hey, we need to change our name and rebrand ourselves, which I thought was kind of stupid in and of itself.
Right.
But when they're sitting there and they're talking about, oh, well, you guys can't say that stuff behind the podium if the podium says, you know, Hyatt Regency on it. I'm like, come on.
You know, this brings me.
And you might want to turn down your sound on. You got the chat board open, right?
Yep.
You might want to turn your sound down a tad because it's starting to echo again.
I don't hear echo, so I think that might be.
Muted.
Okay. Oh, you know what? That's why I'm. Oh, let's see. Am I? I might not be muted. Oops.
That's okay. I do that every now and again.
Now I can't even hear anything. But you know what? I burnt. And whoever says you can't boil water or burn water boiling water, I burnt water boiling chicken.
Yeah, you actually technically can.
Yeah, well, I technically did. Now I can't make my chicken salad. I'm bummed.
Oh, well. Yeah, that'll do it every time.
But my cousin wanted chicken salad, and I'm supposed to make chicken salad. Now she's going to ground me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. But you know what, guys? The gist of what I'm talking about here tonight, two things. And my friend Antoinette and many other people on here who know me, they know I have no problem with people's opposing views. Yes, it did. Sorry for talking loud there. She asked a question, so I told her. I burnt the chicken.
In other words, she's asking you to burn?
Yep. So.
Yep. I do it every time.
Hold on a second.
But yeah, opposing viewpoints, and there is stuff that we don't agree on 100%, and that's what makes the discussion take place. But like I've shown on my own show, and I've shown examples, whether people are listening live or in archive, I've shown examples from cuts from other shows that are on that other side of the dial here on BTR.
Right.
It's like a cacophony of noise. It's like there's no traffic cop. It's like these guys are in Joe Biden mode, because we all know Joe Biden has no parking brake, right? And
yeah.
He can just hold on that easy. And that's the problem. And you'll have all these. Well, you know, it's all. And you'll have those who are spouting the hardcore Noam Chomsky, Saul Alinsky line, and you'll have the others from the other side of the fence that are screaming the hardcore Trotskyite kind of lines, and then you'll have those who want to go from the communist purist standpoint of both Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, and it's all at the same time, and you can't pick it out because it just becomes a rash of noise.
Right.
And it's just, it doesn't do anybody any good.
Right.
And I try to figure that out. Why in the world they don't do it in such a fashion to where, hey, look, you can go ahead and basically play mediator, moderator, the term you want to use.
Right.
And they don't. They don't. They want to have all this, oh, it's the man. Oh, it's conspiracy theory. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, those terrible capitalists. Oh, blah, blah. Oh, blah, blah. And they can't seem to understand the basic fundamentals of macroeconomics 101, small business econ 101, and civics 101. You take those three together, tie them all to one point, and they may understand a little bit. But,
right.
But because they're so busy in the movement mode, they can't.
Right.
They're trying to relive whatever from their salad days. And I've often noticed that a lot of them are much older than myself and really a lot older than you.
Yeah.
These are the ones that are remembering their salad days. Oh, we missed out on the Vietnam marches and blah, blah, blah. But, hey, we got to participate in how much we hate Cambodia and how much we hate nukes back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then we morph that into how much we hate apartheid.
Yeah, now how much they hate America. But here's a question for you. You hate America so much, why are you here? Go live in Cuba.
Yeah.
Go live in Venezuela.
Yeah.
See exactly how much you'll be welcome.
Yeah. Major cities in the United States, most major port cities have consulates.
Right.
Not embassies, but consulates from foreign countries. Through those consulates, you can request travel visas.
Right.
Tourist visas, work visas, and residential visas. If they're closed out on their quota for residential visas, you can apply for the other three types, and then you can actually morph those once you're actually over there, provided
right.
You're not one of those sit-on-your-hands procrastinate types because you're too busy walking around clickety-click with the camera and at all the depressing sites of communism.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
There's a couple of places you won't be able to immigrate to. One, of course, is going to be Iran.
Right.
The other is because Iran is the closest you will ever see to Islamic communism ever. And the other place, of course, is North Korea.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just going to point out that's one of the communist nations that you cannot move to.
Right.
That's completely closed off. And Nicaragua is going to become that way, too. Pretty
right,
soon.
Right.
Since Danny Ortega took over yet again. All that great good 22 years ago that Violeta Chamorro set into place and got into motion. And then all of a sudden, hey, America's not really doing enough against drug cartels in Central America. Where did that ingratitude suddenly come from is what I'm trying to figure out.
Mexico, probably.
You told us to back off. We backed off. And then all of a sudden you're griping and bitching about, well, you're not doing enough. You told
right.
us to back off. I feel
right.
like, it. You know, that's where the American state and DOJ and all the rest basically said, hey, you're making me feel like a dog named Stay. You're saying, come here, Stay, and I don't know what the heck to do.
Right.
You know, right. That's the best analogy I can think of.
No, that's a great analogy. Speaking of something else that I've seen, did you guys hear about Herman Cain's national, his foreign policy group he put together? Did anybody hear about that? Let me see if I can find that again. Oh my gosh. This man put together this is off the chain, the people that's in his group. Let me find this. Okay. Where is it? Come on. Help me find it. Okay, something about WordPress, Page and GOP establishment. Herman Cain is the front runner for now. That's not it.
Well, I saw that article in Daily Caller where they were trying to push him to be more specific on foreign policy aspects. But, you know, in this phase of the game, basically all you can do is criticize certain things. Well, I got the munchkins again. Hey, Thomas, I'm going to have to go. It's been great talking. I'll catch you later, okay?
All right. Bye. Thanks for coming on, Eric. That was my friend, Flyover Territory, a.k.a. Eric. Great man. He served in our military. Great, you know, great American, good person, loves this country, loves people, and he does not care. This man, he does not care about race. He cares about our country. He cares about people. So I always enjoy doing shows with him. I found this article interesting by ABC News. Which it kind of ticked me off, though. And it says this: Herman Cain hit by tax lien in 2008. And I want to read this real quick, and then we'll talk about it in the last few minutes that we have. And anybody want to call in and talk, you know, for the last few minutes, that's fine too. Republican frontrunner Herman Cain, who has built his support among party activists with his anti-tax message and controversial 999 tax plan, has called the IRS an overseer and compared taxation to slavery. Our tax code is the 21st century version of slavery, said Cain in a recent campaign video. In a Herman Cain administration, April 15th will no longer be a day to be dreaded. Perhaps some of Cain's anti-tax fervor can be traced to his own past encounters with the tax man. According to documents obtained by ABC News in February 2008, the Georgia Department of Revenue hit Cain and his wife Gloria with a lien for $8,558.46 in unpaid personal income taxes from 2006. Cain's campaign was quick to point out to ABC News that Cain was undergoing treatment for stage 4 cancer in 2006. A Cain spokesman said due to his illness, Cain had requested and was granted a 6-month extension of his federal taxes and had requested the same from the state, which Georgia allows. Nevertheless, the state sent a delinquent notice to Cain in late 2007 and filed the lien in early 2008. Cain spokesman J.D. Gordon said Cain's accountant had protested the delinquency to no avail. Cain responded in a timely manner to the delinquency notice sent by the Georgia Department of Revenue, but was unable to stop the process that ultimately led to the filing of the tax lien in no, said Gordon. Documents show the lien was removed in November 2008. The Kane campaign didn't resist an opportunity Wednesday to use the candidate's personal tax struggles to reinforce his anti-tax credentials. The experience serves as an example of how broken our federal and state bureaucracies are with respect to the collection of revenue, Gordon told ABC News. The entire process is driven by automated letters generated in response to deadlines. Now, did you guys catch that? Herman Cain was in stage 4 cancer treatment and the state of Georgia sent him a lien notice. What? Guys, point blank. And anybody want to call in to chat about it, that'd be fine. If not, you know, that's cool too. The man had cancer, and they were worried about him not paying his taxes. It wasn't like he did not have the money. Hello, guess what? Herman Cain is a multimillionaire. Yeah, he's a millionaire, folks. So it wasn't the issue with him not being able to pay the money. He had the money. He was in cancer treatment. And one would think that folks would have enough reason to catch that. But obviously they did care. Obviously, they did not care. You know, that angers me. That angers me. If that just goes to show how much they disregard people in their situations unless it benefits them. I'm tired of the double standards. It does not matter. I do not like double standards. And Michael, you're absolutely right. It does not matter how much money you have. Cancer does not have a financial agenda. You're absolutely right. That's why they should not have sent him that lien, period. GE didn't pay any taxes on $40 billion in revenues last year. They didn't pay taxes on $40 billion in revenues. Now, you want to hear something funny? I'm going to share something with you guys before we close out the show. ExxonMobil, the company that's always attacked by the liberal left, they paid, you know how much taxes they paid last year? They paid $26 billion in taxes last year. to the U.S. government. $26 billion in taxes. Percent of their revenue came from the United States. The other 94% came from the rest of the countries. And I think they made something like $200 million last year. $200 billion. 6% of that $200 billion is, let's see, 10%. So they paid more money to the U.S. government than actual revenues that they earned from this country. Guys, that's my rant and rave for today. I want to thank you all for coming. Love you. Peace to you. And all I got to say is this, and to quote my motto, speak when you have something to say. Quietly observe when someone makes you mad, and always be ready to rise. Speak when you have something to say. Quietly observe when someone makes you mad, and always be ready to rise. Until next time, you have been listening to The Visible Conservative on Blog Talk Radio.